Well, this being Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to change things up a little bit. Now, I think as Baptists, we can change once in a while, right? So we'll give it a shot this morning, change our order of service. Let me set this up just with the weekend I had last weekend. I was in one of my favorite places in the world Monday and Tuesday. I did some training for something called Aero Leadership Program. And it takes place on Keats Island, which is off the Sunshine Coast at a retreat center. So after I preached on Sunday, went to the airport here, fly to Vancouver, take a train into the city, take a bus out to Horseshoe Bay to catch a boat, a ferry across the Langdale to get a little boat that takes me to Barnabas. So it's planes, trains, and automobiles, and throw a bus in there. And so I get there, and it's dark, and kind of, whoa, everything going on, connect a little bit with the people there. Even that night, thinking about a day of training the next day, lots going on in my head. Get up, prayer at 7 with the team, so go there, head down. Came out of that meeting, and just this sense, Lyle, it's time to look up because of the beauty of where I was at. So that's the scene at Barnabas. It's one of the reasons I love to go there. And just this, instead of just head down, look up, pause. And then the day went on and everything involved in it. Next day, there's a point I had a little bit of work to do at a desk to kind of catch up with some things. So again, I'm sitting down and the desk is in a corner. And like, again, the sense, pull the desk back to the window so you can look out at that. Pause, stop, not just head down. And then the next day, back on the ferry, heading to Horseshoe Bay. Pretty cold outside, so I head in near the front of the ferry and sitting reading a book on my phone. And again, look up, and I look, and their windows are, let's just say they need a little bit of cleaning. And I think to myself, wow, what are you doing? You're in the beauty of that, and you're reading a book you could read anywhere, looking out windows that you can't even see out of. So I got up, went outside. I'm Albertan. I didn't freeze. And just enjoyed. At times we need to get our heads from this, to stop, to pause, to look up. And I think of the many aspects of Thanksgiving. That is one of the main reasons we need to celebrate Thanksgiving. Because I think a lot of times this is life. We're just going from one thing to the next, and there's so much, and it's overwhelming, and what am I going to do, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Thanksgiving comes along, and it's just this invitation to pause, stop, look up, remember God, get the focus on all that isn't, and all that's struggling, and focus anew on what is, and God who is with us. It's a huge part, I think, 2020 vision. This year we're talking about, what does it look like for God to restore us to 2020 vision, not so much by what we see with our eyes, but how we see with our lives? What does life look like the way God intends? There's so many competing visions that say this will give you life that makes sense, but God and His Word has other lenses, and that's what we're looking at today. And today we want to especially focus on this lens of gratitude. Paul, we've been in the book of Philippians. We're not going to be here for much of the day, but just to start us off, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Paul's writing from jail, facing a trial where he could lose his life. I mean, he had reason for anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I wonder very often we read that, and the with that thanksgiving is kind of, we just throw it in there. All uptight, make sure you pray, God will give you peace. With thanksgiving. Paul somehow was able, in the midst of all the anxiety-producing circumstances of being in a Roman prison situation, knows peace and joy as we read the book of Philippians. Was the lens of gratitude a big piece of that? He could actually, instead of focusing on all that wasn't and concerned about all that what might be, look up and see who is and who is with him and what he's done and what he's doing and what he's promised with thanksgiving. Today, I want us to take some time and pause and put on the lens of thanksgiving. We're going to pause from Philippians and go to the book of Psalms. We're going to pause from my usual order of service. We're going to break this sermon up a couple times. Stop, reflect, sing in response to what God's word is calling us. During those times, we'll ask the prayer team to come. They'll still be there. I'm going to say that now because I'll probably forget then. So we have you stand, prayer team. That's your cue. All right. But let's go to Psalm 65. A couple weeks ago, in what I'm reading through, I get to Psalm 65, and it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And there was just this sense in my heart that this is saying something significant to us as a congregation about 2020 vision, about putting lenses on that help us thank and praise God. It starts this way. Psalm 65, 1, praise awaits you, our God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. What people think who study this is that David here is thinking back to a time when the nation was praying. Perhaps the weather wasn't good. The fields didn't look good. And they're praying to God with this vow, God, as you answer, we will thank. And now we'll get deeper into the psalm. You'll see that God has provided abundantly. And he said, we're going to thank you. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. That all people, it actually extends it beyond the Jewish nation. I'm going to talk about that word later, but David is looking beyond this situation to say, you know what? You're a God who answers prayer. You're a God who hears us. You're a God who works, and it is important for praise to come to you. Thanksgiving to come to you. And in the psalm, the thanksgiving breaks down quite succinctly into three sections that we're going to look at today. We're going to leave the first for last. But the first section we'll talk about is praising God for creation, starting in verse 5. David is very careful here to recognize that this created world is from God. So verse 5, he says this, you answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior. The hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. You answer us with righteous deeds. And then verses 7 to 8, to 6 to 8, talk about how those deeds are creation, actually. Starting in verse 5, the ends of the earth, the farthest seas. What David is saying is creation is an expression of who you are, God. That made me think. Growing up in rural Alberta, events like Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, these were huge family times for my family. The extended family would get together. There'd be food like crazy. One grandma would always bring the dessert. Remember grandma's pies, Christmas pudding. Oh. The other grandma, she brought this rice casserole that I loved, and I think most of the grandkids loved. And back then, as a kid, it's like, where's the fork? Let's eat. But I've grown up, and I think back. And now I see it in how many ways those creations were really an extension of who they were. Their love for us, their care for us, reflected in these creations. I think verse 5, David is saying, God, you answer, and I look around at creation, and it's the first expression of who you are. And then he gets specific. Verse 6, I look at the mountains, okay? You formed the mountains by your power, armed yourself with strength. There's something about the mountains that are an expression of the grandeur and the greatness and the majesty and the timelessness and the bigness of God. I think about this when I drive by, when you go to Canmore, there's that cement plant. You know the one I'm talking about? You're on your way to Canmore, you're on your way to Banff, there's that cement plant. That's been there since 1906. They've been chipping away at the limestone in that mountain. When I was in grade 6, we did a field trip there. Okay, that's like 45-ish years ago. You know what? 45 years, I drive by, I'm like, hardly made a dent in one mountain. And it's like, how many more mountains are there? And you've been pumping out cement since 1906. Think about that. One mountain in one area. The vastness of it. You ever think your problems are too big for God? Drive by a cement plant. Then he gets to the seas, verse 7. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the turmoil of the nations. In the Jewish mindset, seas were a dangerous and evil place, a place of chaos. That's why when you get to Revelation at the end, it said, and there was no longer any sea in the new world. It's saying there's no more chaos. But what here in verse 7? You still the chaos. You ever seen a storm or big waves and then it calms down? You ever feel like there's waves inside? We look at creation and how that all settles in time. God brings order out of chaos. Then we go to verse 8. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call for songs of joy. The idea there in the where morning dawns and evening fades is this universal creation of God. From the rising of the sun to its setting. God, you've made it all. But I want us to think about the image a little bit more. Sunrise, sunset. You call for songs of joy, even at the beauty. Isn't it interesting how people will get up early just to see a sunrise? We'll want to make sure they're at a certain place just to see a sunset. And there's a wonder and there's an awe. Science can tell you why the colors and all that, but who's behind science? It's God. I think of just back at Keats Island, the one breakfast. I'm coming out and the sun's just coming up over the mountain and the trees. And the camp director's next to me. He says, I love the sunrise. Stop, pause. The beauty, the faithfulness of God. A summer evening, Jeannie and I are in Didsbury, rural Alberta. She's at a retreat there where she's leading worship. I spent a couple days with her there. And one evening, we thought, why don't the two of us just go out and we'll look west and we'll appreciate the prairie sunset. But as we go out, there's a whole bunch more people. And everyone's talking, but just as the pink comes up, it's like a hush. The beauty, the creativity. You ever think your problems are beyond God? He's creative enough to do that. Thanksgiving's a time to remind us to pause. Look up. See creation. See it as an extension of God. And allow that to feed our souls. Let's pray. Think about one of your favorite places in creation. Maybe it's a mountain. Maybe it's a beach. Maybe it is a place you love the sunset and you've got a memory. Maybe it's a flower and you're seeing its intricacy. Maybe it's more than one. Let's just pause for a moment. Ask God to show you who He is in that. See beneath it to the God who's there. Let His grandeur speak to whatever seems too big in your life. Let the calmness speak to the storm in your soul. Let the creativity and the beauty speak to the confusion. Let the detail speak to the loss of control you feel. God, in the beginning, you created the heavens and the earth. an expression of who you are. Indescribable. You stood before creation and you said, let it be. You spoke it forth and it was. And it reflects your beauty, your power, your greatness. We praise you for it. Let's stand together.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, in creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings. And all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. And all powerful and untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light? Yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. Oh, none can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. And all powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God.
Incomparable.
And incomparable and unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. Oh, you are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Used to be for my failure.
So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Completely to you. Completely to you.
That's how we stand. Creatures created by a loving God, given life, given love, and as we'll see, amazingly provided for. We give you thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, I got to tell a granddaughter story. My 2-year-old granddaughter is learning more words. And one of her little favorite sayings right now is, "I did it. I did it." A little while ago, she just got a little tricycle. And she's sitting on it and trying to move forward, but her feet are barely touching the pedals and doesn't want any help. But we end up going outside and finally figures out if one of us pushes her from behind, this thing goes, and her feet are going on the pedal, and she's moving, and you know what she said as she's moving? "I did it. I did it." Now, Grandpa knows, no, you didn't. Now, I'm a proud grandpa. I'm not going to say that. I'm thinking this is so cute. The truth of the matter is, you're given the tricycle. Your feet barely reach the pedals, and someone's pushing you. Man, I learn a lot from my 2-year-old granddaughter. Because I wonder how often I take credit when really God's done 99.9%. And I've just kind of cooperated. We're like this, aren't we? We have a garden. And look what I produced. Look what I grew. Didn't do much more than put a seed in the ground. In fact, Jeannie put the seed in the ground, not even me. I eat it well. Yeah. We can't make it grow. Maybe in the kitchen or the shop. Look what I created. Well, okay. Who gave you the food? Who planted or made that tree grow that was planted to get the wood? Who gave you hands? A brain that communicates with the hands, the dexterity, the people around you who've taught you how to create. Here's a big one. A paycheck hits our account. Look what I earned. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who put in long, long days of hard, hard labor, hoping to get a meal at night. Yeah, we work, but who allowed Canada to be a place where there's work, where we actually get paid well, where there's stores that have food, where there's a context that bombs aren't falling, and we even wonder for our safety when we go to the store? Who gave us life? Who gave us breath? Who created the educational opportunities for us to learn to do what we do? Who gave us the brains to process that? Coming to verse 9, we don't know the context exactly, but the answer from God has been a year of plenty. And David wants to be really, really careful to remember who's responsible for the crop. Verse 9, you care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. God, it's you. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften its showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. Verse 11, your carts overflow with abundance. The word carts, depending on your translation, will have paths. Paths, carts, sounds kind of different. What's going on? I like how one commentator puts it together. He said, the picture is of wagon tracks across the heavens where the cart of God's mercies sloshes abundance on the earth below. Don't you love that? The cart of God's mercies and provision sloshing abundance on the earth below. This section of the psalm is about praise for God's provision. And sometimes we forget the truth of Psalm 95. The Bible warns us about that. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a powerful chapter because the people of Israel are about to get into the promised land where the carts are going to slosh. They're going to be blessed. And in the midst of that, God says in Deuteronomy 8, don't forget God. And then he writes this in verse 17, and we in North America today need to hear this. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. But it's my hard work. Well, it's your hard work here in Canada, using the health God's given you, the intellect he's given you, the skills he's given you, the opportunities he's given you, the breath he's given you. And all of a sudden, our self-sufficiency starts to come into perspective, right? Thanksgiving is a time when we're reminded, we pause, we look up, and we're reminded it's maybe not as much up to us as we thought it was. And we really are dependent on a good, loving God who's given us so much. We're going to move to the offering now because I think it fits here. Typical Sunday, we kind of put it in the context of worship. But the offering really is an expression back to God of gratitude for all he's given us. It's a pausing and a looking up to say, God, it's all from you. I am absolutely dependent on you. Even my ability to have what I have to give to you is from you, so it's all yours anyway. Not just what I give you, but the rest of it too. And so as the offering is taken, team's just going to lead us. Come on up, team. In that song, The Goodness of God. And allow them just to sing it as the offering's taken. They'll have you stand and join in. Then let's reflect on his goodness. Let's pray. God, I know for myself, I need to confess how often I miss the link. You are the link in the chain between what I do and being able to receive the fruit of what I do. There are many in this world who don't know this blessing. God, forgive us for our sense of self-sufficiency and independence. Because truth is, it could end tomorrow. And we need you, and we're dependent on you, and you're good, and you provide. God, as we take this offering, Lord, I thank you for this church. We know through Thanksgiving here, this emphasis on an offering toward paying off the building. God, you've provided in amazing ways. And God, we even come to you in the midst of seeing how far behind we are in our other budget. You still provide and work in our hearts. Spirit of gratitude and generosity. But on this Thanksgiving, we do tell you it's all from you. And what we give back to you, God, forgive us where we think you need it. Fact of the matter is, you don't need anything. We do. And you've blessed us, and your carts of mercy have sloshed. And we present back just a part of all you've blessed us with. You are so good. Amen.
So good with every breath that I have. running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. With my life laid down in surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, poured unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, the sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
God, you're so good. You provide the seasons. You provide our food. You provide a context in which we're able to have so much. But God, even as we sang that last verse, how true it is that far deeper and more significant than it all is the gift of forgiveness, the gift of your Son. Thank you. Please be seated. We've seen praise for creation, for provision. Let's talk about God's salvation. Max Lucado, in his book, When God Whispers Your Name, tells a little story about a guy who just had to quickly run into a big box store. All he needed was like a loaf of bread and some milk. So he has these two little things at the register. He turns behind, and maybe a scene you've seen in this Thanksgiving, there's a lady who just looks haggard. Her cart is full, food everywhere, clothes in one corner. Even she's been to the electronics department. I mean, this is going to be a bill. And here he is, and the clerk brings out this container with paper and says, put your hand in. There's a piece of paper that says you'll win free groceries, free whatever's in your cart. He said, well, how many are there? Well, only one. So I don't win much. Puts his hand in. You've won. He's got like a loaf of bread and milk. So he has this idea. He turns and he looks at her and he says, hey, honey, guess what? We won. And she catches on. And the clerk plays along. Well, Lucado's the first to say it's a little shady. But think about it from the perspective of this haggard shopper. Work, 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 and all I've got is a huge debt I got to pay. And then out of nowhere, it's covered. You don't have to pay. Lucado writes, it's a story not too distant from our own. We too have been graced with a surprise. Even more than that of the lady, for though her debt was high, she could pay it. We can't begin to pay ours. What's the debt? Well, David hits it directly. Let's come back up to the top of the psalm. Again, David is talking about praise awaits you, thanks awaits you for what? Verse 3, when we were overwhelmed by sins. Our cart was full of sin. Our cart was full of us looking at God, our Creator, and saying, no thanks, God. I know you've given me life, but I know how to live it. And we turned our back. We've done our own thing. We've gone our own way. Maybe tried the odd thing to make him happy, but we know we're a mess. We know when we're honest, our cart is full of our junk. We've walked out on God. When our cart was full of sins, you forgave our transgressions. You forgave. And the word, the literal meaning is covered. Covered. You paid for. You dealt with it. And in David's context, that would mean an animal was sacrificed. And the life of that animal given in exchange for the life dead in sin, and God forgives. But if we look at the context, this psalm is pointing forward to so much more. Let's broaden it out. Verse 2 is interesting. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. Again, David could have used any kinds of words for all people to say just my people, our people, the Jewish people. But he used one of the most inclusive words in their language. All flesh, all living beings. Doesn't matter if you're born a child of Abraham into the Jewish nation or not. To you, all people will one day come with their sin to be covered. And then verse 4, blessed are those who choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house. He speaks of once being covered, we get to live in the courts of the temple. Well, in that day, that just wasn't made very available. The further you got into the temple, the more exclusive it was. part only Jews could be in. Another part only one tribe of Jews can be in. The inner part only the high priest could be in. All people will come, be forgiven, live in your courts. What kind of sacrifice brought that? Let's go to the book of Matthew 27, verse 50. And here Jesus is on a cross giving his life. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. He gave his life. He became the sacrifice. Verse 51. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That curtain keeping people away from God was torn in two because Jesus gave his life. And now, through the sacrifice of Jesus, sin could be covered and all people could be restored to relationship with God. No matter what's in your cart, the sacrifice of Jesus covers it, pays for it. If we but receive. And so David says, praise awaits you. How often do we forget to pause and think of what we have because of Jesus? If you've turned to Jesus from sin to him, believing Jesus died on a cross and rose again, he's forgiven you. He's given you his Holy Spirit. You're not alone. You've got a whole new presence with you and sense of perspective in a fallen world where this creation is waiting for God to bring it all in renewal. But in the meantime, we don't check out. God walks with us, helps us to become more like Jesus, gives us his Spirit. We're not alone, knowing that one day we will be with him forever. We need not fear death. And yet we forget this. And Thanksgiving says, pause. Look up. Your debt has been paid. You're forgiven. You're free. You will be with Jesus forever. Let's pray. If you've prayed that kind of prayer to say, God, forgive me, I believe. I ask you to go back in your mind to that time when it was brand new. Or maybe other times when God in his grace has just given you a sense of what it means to be forgiven. You're feeling the guilt. Remember you're forgiven. Feeling alone, remember the presence of the Spirit and the community of people around you. If you're feeling afraid, remember the hope. God is working out a purpose. There is a good end. You wonder what life's about. Remember the heart of God that wants to work in you and through you, that you be his representative on earth, no matter where you are, bringing his restoration to his people and his creation. God, forgive us for forgetting. Forgive us even for being more grateful for the food on our table than the cleansing of our hearts. More grateful for the hope of a paycheck than a hope of an eternity with you. God, bring us back. Bring us back to the incredible truth of our restoration to you, our forgiveness. And God, if there's anyone here, it just sounds too good to be true. Today, may this be the day where they pray that prayer. God, you made me. But I have gone my own way. I've sinned. I'm sorry. But God, I believe. Thank you. Lord Jesus, you came out of heaven, God, stepping to earth, living the life I couldn't live so you could die in my place. You rose again. I believe it's true. And on that basis, please, forgive me. Restore me. Lead my life. God, thank you that you hear that prayer. You know our hearts. And we come now simply to praise you, to say thank you for the cross. Lord Jesus, for what you did, that we might have new life and hope that is for now and forever. Let's stand together.